Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, it's Pundits and More with Sam Kumar, Chris Wicker, and Trey Abney, plus part two of my interview with the mayor of West Wendover. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great power pundit panel. In fact, we have a whole bunch of pundits on today. We'll start out with Sam Kumar, past chairman of the Washoe County Republicans and a columnist for the Reno Gazette Journal that is very mellow. He never really takes a position on anything. Chris Wicker, former state Democratic Party chair and a member of the DNC, and Trey Abney, managing partner with Abney Talking Group. Pleasure to have you all here.
Thank you.
So, Chris, the economy is booming. Tax cuts, unbelievable amounts of tax cuts leading to all kinds of investment in businesses, bonuses to employees, meeting with North Korea. What's not to love?
Well, I think what's not to love is this, that you have those tax cuts are going to be all borrowed money, $1.5 trillion, and they're never in history.
Hang on, you're a Democrat, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And never in history.
Because normally it's the Republicans that are ones.
Well, normally Democrats, when we have a tax cut, which is rare, but a stimulation, it's to stimulate the economy. But Republicans have tax cuts for the wealthy and for corporations. And so we have a business environment that was doing pretty well and fairly low employment. And so we go out and decide to borrow $1.5 trillion over 10 years, 80% of which goes to the wealthiest Americans and large corporations who already had stashes of cash in their bank accounts. And so the problem is this. Targeted tax cuts would be good. Tax cuts to the lower middle class families that'll be spent is perhaps a good use of funds. But tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans and corporations that have stacks of cash, that doesn't make a lot of sense to borrow money to do that.
And Trey, one of the things that's interesting is that, you know, as we watch history in the making, as we have done for the last 20 years, you know, there's a certain point where with the economy being, as Chris points out, was already well stimulated, unemployment at the lowest rates in years, and well below what used to be the full unemployment rate. The Fed is going to have to jump in at some point in the not-too-distant future and start to raise interest rates to cool down the economy.
Well, there's a lot of people talking about that, and I think there's some concern there. I will welcome Chris to the Deficit Hawk Caucus. Finally, the Democrats worried about how much deficit spending we have, because we all know that spending actually causes deficits, not taxes. And tax cuts. But that being said, I will throw Chris half a bone. The economy certainly was humming along before Donald Trump took office. I've never been one to believe that a president completely and totally controls the economy. That being said, these tax cuts went to just about everybody you can imagine. Big business, small business, low income, middle income. For those low income people that pay taxes, by the way, because you have to remember, most people don't pay federal income tax anymore in this country. So, I mean, I think all of these steps are good. There's a little concern about the trade policy, you know, if we want to talk about that. But I think this president, there's a lot of people that don't like him, and there's a lot of issues with this president, but his policies are definitely moving us in the right direction.
Well, Sam, one of his policies, not his policy, but he has come out to advocate about this, is he's in favor, President Trump, the administration is in favor of teachers carrying guns in school as a way to combat this issue of school shootings. We just interviewed Darren Balaam, who's running for Washoe County Sheriff, and he was opposed to this. What do you think about teachers carrying guns in school?
I think we do the issue of school shootings and shootings in general great injustice by not having an in-depth conversation. A lot of things should be on the table, and as I wrote in my column yesterday, back in 1955, we had about 558,000 people committed into mental institutions. And due to the deinstitutionalization in the next three, four decades, basically that number dropped to about 78,000 or something like that. So it's a very complex issue. We need to come from multiple different angles. But the first thing we need to do to protect schools, every gun-free zone has a protected perimeter except schools. We need to fix that problem. We need to have a single point of entry, and we need to have metal detectors there to ensure the wrong people don't get in. And that's the starting point, but we have a long way to go. All things should be on the table. We should look at everything to see how we can prevent this.
And it's interesting because the cutbacks in mental health really started back when Ronald Reagan was governor of California.
That's correct. And those cutbacks led to a lot of people with mental illness being on the streets and being on their own. And that's kind of continued. That has not been able to be fixed since then. But I think Sam effectively avoided discussing the issue of the role of guns in the school shootings and so forth. And I would have to agree with the person you had on before. Teachers have a lot of jobs. One of their jobs shouldn't be training as a skilled marksman. There are studies that have shown in action by police that police that are highly trained and go to academies and have marksmanship training, when they're under the stress of an actual shooting situation, the accuracy of their shooting is wildly inaccurate. And so you have trained professionals that they get in the stress of a shooting situation, and they have trouble having accurate fire. So you expect a teacher to do that? I think it's a crazy idea.
Trey, you obviously want to respond.
No. That's fine. I mean, let's be clear, though. Nobody is proposing that we force teachers to carry arms in schools, right? This would be a voluntary program. I don't think I have, and I don't have strong feelings. I don't think I have a big problem if a teacher's been properly trained, gone through the proper training, courses, instruction, that they have, that they're able to have a gun on them at school. Because that's not, you know, in this Florida school shooting, the cops just stood outside. So who else is supposed to protect the students if the cops, who are the most trained, won't?
Okay,
so,
let's just back up just a hair,
yeah.
Because from what my understanding is, with an active shooter situation, until the cops knew what was going on inside, their instructions are actually to stay outside and not just rush in.
Well, that's interesting. Then who else is supposed to protect the students that are inside then? I mean, I guess that would be my point. If the cops are instructed, I'm not questioning that. The cops are instructed to stay outside.
I guess more knowledge is known of what's actually going on.
Until the shooting stops and everybody's dead, I guess. I mean, so I'm not saying we force teachers, and there may be certain districts that say, no, we don't like that, and that's fine. And I would trust people like Darren Balaam and other law enforcement officers on issues like this. But I'm just saying I'm not opposed to the idea of at least talking about well-trained people that train themselves, get themselves instructed on carrying a gun.
We just had the president's plan, and the main feature of the president's plan was arming teacher. Not a word is said about stopping the sale of AR-15s.
Sam, get the last word.
Well, I think here's the challenge we have. We can talk as much as we want about banning guns. The fact of the matter is we have 310 million guns in the system. What are you going to do to make them disappear? There is no plan. You can't do that. Unfortunately, we are not starting off with a clean slate where no one has guns, and we are not talking about newly arming people with weapons. That being the case, it makes good political sound bites, but it's not possible. A law that cannot be implemented is worthless.
All right, let's take a break. More with our pundits when we come back.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue on with our pundits. Chris Wicker, the former State Democratic Party chair, or vice chair, I should say, a member of the DNC. Trey Abney, managing partner with Abney Talking Group. And Sam Kumar, past chairman of the Washoe County Republicans.
Well, Trey, let me get back to you on this, talking about guns. Is that, you know, somehow this officer at Stoneham Douglas High School has been vilified because he didn't engage the shooter, but he's got a pea shooter pistol, and this other guy, the Cruz, the perpetrator of the crime, has an AR-15, so the firepower really doesn't match up. And Sam, you mentioned, you know, all the guns that are in circulation. Now, legally, what about Australia's program of buying guns back? And Trey, if you want to.
Well, I don't know if anybody has an, I don't think I have an issue with buying guns back if people want to voluntarily come in and sell their guns away. I think the issue is banning a whole classification weapon. Because you have to remember, when we banned assault rifles the first time during the Clinton administration, shootings and uses of those, illegal use of those rifles actually kept decreasing. So there really was never a correlation between the banning of assault rifles and the use in those in crime. So, I mean, if people want to voluntarily go and sell their guns, and I mean, I don't think I have a problem with that. I don't think that really solves any issues. The people that are going to bring their guns in to get bought back are the good guys anyway.
Sam, do you want to respond?
Well, Australia is a bad example because our cultures don't match when it comes to guns. It's like saying, you know, in Italy they have piazzas. That's great to have. Let's have a fountain and let's all walk around. It doesn't apply to us. We are a gun culture. We have to acknowledge that fact and see how to work within that. So,
Sam, Australia also has a gun culture. A large majority of that country is outback, and very little of that country is occupied by actually people in cities. So I would disagree with you that they had a different culture. They had different laws, but they didn't have a different culture. I just came back from almost a month in Australia, and you know, the two biggest entertainment factors are sports and drinking. So I mean, you know, it's a laid back society, but they were able to accomplish it. But it's not that they were that much different than our society.
I spend a lot of time with people who own guns. I am a gun owner, and I can tell you, I can't think of a single person who is going to walk down to this courthouse and hand out their, give back their guns for whatever amount you're willing to pay them.
And there's a huge differentiation between weapons of war like high-velocity assault rifles and personal protection pistols or hunting rifles. And the surgeons that have had to deal with the victims of these weapons of war like assault rifles, the destructiveness of a high-velocity bullet just tears up organs and bones and tissue. And so the power of the weapon makes a huge difference in the results on the human body. And that has to be taken into consideration. And for a change, this country needs to take the long view. Sam is right. There's millions of weapons out there. We have to take the long view because there's no overnight solving the problem.
Okay. So, Trey, you spend a lot of time on Capitol Hill. What do you think the chances are of us seeing any major change without having to wait generations?
Slim to none. We were just out there last week, actually, with the Reno Sparks Chamber fly-in, talked to all of our delegation, and that place is locked down tight, you know, to get into all those buildings. But that's the key. But our schools aren't. You know, back to Sam's point, our schools aren't anything like that. And so, I mean, they are open. Gun-free zones tend to be open targets unless you have a strong perimeter, and schools don't. And
that's a fallacy.
And that's where we have to leave it. You got the last word in, Chris. We'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers. We ran out of time to talk about all I wanted to talk about with Mayor Daniel Corona of West Wendover last week when we were having a conversation. And so I asked him to stick around so we could do this segment. And for those that are not familiar with where West Wendover is, it's in the extreme northeastern corner of the state and on I-80. And it borders Utah, and so they get a tremendous amount of business from Salt Lake City, a town of 5,000 or 5,600 people, boosts to 20 to 40,000 people on the weekends. So, Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so the topic I didn't get to, which I wanted to get to, was you opened, not you personally, but the town now has a marijuana dispensary. And I was curious to see what the response has been within the community and with this huge tourist influx that you get from Salt Lake City, among other places.
So we haven't, the dispensary hasn't opened yet. We're still working through the licensing, but it is coming along rapidly, and I'm expecting that they'll start construction soon with hopefully open date sometime either end of summer, beginning of fall. Actually the council has only approved medical marijuana. So with medical, I don't know that we'll see the big influx as we will with recreational once we are able to get the council comfortable enough to revisit that and approve it. But I think that with Elko County and Elko City, actually, now both implementing bans on any type of dispensary, medical or recreational, that we're going to see a lot of medical patients from Elko, even maybe as far away as Battle Mountain, coming out to West Wendover to purchase their medicine because there's nowhere else in rural Nevada aside from the western part of rural Nevada and Ely now, that you can purchase medical marijuana. So I think it might not be a lot of tourism from outside the state. It will be more people from the rural parts of the state coming to West Wendover.
Okay. Well, you know, considering that Salt Lake City has not legalized either, or Utah, I should say, that I would imagine that you're going to get a tremendous amount of business coming from Utah. And so that leads me to another question, which is, what does West Wendover law enforcement think about this, and how are they planning to handle it? And, you know, I think there's been a really good example set by Las Vegas Metro and even quieter Reno Police Department in dealing with marijuana. They're not, you know, they don't have their hair on fire over this. But my concern would be that tourists coming from Utah, purchasing product and then taking it home with them, potentially looking for a big hassle from the state patrol in Utah.
You know, one thing that we've been very consistent in, and I think, you know, whoever eventually if it does go recreational, the dispensary will also be very conscious of, is making sure that folks know that transporting marijuana across state lines is still illegal. And I think as far as we're concerned, that's the most that we can do on our part. You know, it's legal here in Nevada. You know, we're not going to require a dispensary to say, okay, well, now where are you going to smoke this joint or eat this edible? You know, because they think that just kind of comes with its own set of problems. But as far as Utah stepping up patrols, you know, they've said that they're not going to. They didn't on the Colorado border, and they're not going to. They've seen the Nevada border not being any different. And so that's kind of reassuring that they're not going to be, you know, harassing folks as soon as they cross the border if they know that they came out of West Wendover. But at the same time, like, it is a different, you know, you can walk across the store down the street in West Wendover and you're in Wendover, Utah. So to also make sure that folks know where that border is and know that, you know, once you cross into Utah, you have to follow their laws, and, you know, if you get arrested over there, that's the risk you're taking when you transport it across that line.
One of the things that's been a big discussion in Las Vegas, for example, are smoking lounges, because at this point, there's nowhere legal for anybody to consume the marijuana that they've just purchased when they come to the state. And certainly State Senator Tick Sagerblum, potentially County Commissioner Tick Sagerblum in Clark County, you know, would like to see places where people can consume the product they're legally allowed to buy. Have you and the council had any discussions about that? Because obviously you're going to have the same problem with five casinos. Those casinos cannot have anybody consuming or smoking marijuana on their premises. But if it's available down the road recreationally as well as medicinally, are you going to be able to provide a place for people to consume it?
That's something that has been brought up to the council, and their attitude towards it was kind of, you know, we don't even have recreational yet, so why are we going to deal with this now? So I think they want to wait and see. I'm going to continue to push it because I think that it's a conversation that needs to be had, and I think that you have to allow some place for folks to, you know, use the product that they just purchased, because otherwise they're going to be smoking it on the casino floor, or, you know, if they have extra left over from, you know, their trip, or if they weren't able to smoke it in their non-smoking hotel room, you know, they're going to end up transporting it across state lines. So I think it's almost irresponsible not to at least offer that option to say, you know, here, you purchased it here. We get that you're a tourist, so here's a place that you can go to enjoy, you know, what you just purchased.
Mayor Daniel Corona, thank you so much for doing this. You're terrific from West Wendover, and we look forward to having you back on the program so that people get to know West Wendover a lot better. So thank you very much.
Thank you, and anytime you want me on, I will be more than happy to come on.
I got you in my speed dial. Thank you, sir. We'll be right back.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community.
Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
On our next broadcast, the irrepressible Marilyn York. We'll see you then.